Harper Audio presents Taming the Highland Bride by Lindsay Sands, performed by Mariana Polka. Prologue. Merwin Stewart stabbed the needle into the cloth and tugged it out the other side with an irritated jerk. She was in a foul mood, and as usual, the fault for that lay with her father and two brothers. Unfortunately, the Stewart men liked their drink. Equally unfortunately, while they were lambs when sober and only stupid and clumsy on ale, they were downright mean on whiskey. So, of course, whiskey was their drink of preference, which meant Mary often found herself standing between them and the rest of the clan. Her first lesson on taking over as chatelaine at Stewart Castle had been to arm herself with something heavy when they got like that. Fortunately, her doing so was often enough to keep them in line. However, their whiskey-sharpened tongues could be cutting, and the very threat of violence that shimmered in the air on those occasions was frightening to deal with. Mary had spent the last 6 years doing all she could to keep them from drinking the whiskey the Stewart clan made and sold. She'd taken to locking it away in the pantry, keeping the only key to that lock on her person at all times. But they just rode out to the inn in the village, or to Colingow's to partake of his whiskey. She then was left to deal with whatever chaos they created when they returned intoxicated. That had been the pattern since her mother's death 6 years ago, until last week. Last week, they'd returned from a visit with Colin Gow so drunk she'd been amazed that they hadn't broken their full necks on the ride home. She was even more amazed when they still wanted more drink. Mary had refused them the key to the pantry and suggested they find their beds. She'd then ordered the servants to make themselves scarce and retired herself, hoping that would be the end of it. It hadn't. The three men decided to take battle axes to the pantry door. The racket had brought her from her bed to find they'd hacked their way through the thick wooden door and were inside, breaking open the casks of whiskey. When she'd tried to stop them, her brother Brodie had pushed her away and raised his axe threateningly as he told her not to interfere. There'd been nothing else for her to do but to leave them to it. What had followed was nearly a week of them binging on their treasure while Mary and the servants had done their best to stay out of harm's way. The trio had drunk until they passed out and then woke to immediately begin drinking again. On the third day, Brodie had cuffed one of the kitchen boys who had been foolish enough to return before she gave the all clear and then had not moved quickly enough for her brother's liking. Fortunately, Mary had been close enough she'd managed to intervene after only the first blow, and while the lad had suffered a bloody nose, he'd also learned a valuable lesson. She doubted he'd ever return to the keep before he was sure it was safe to do so. On the fourth night, Gawain had nearly set the stables ablaze when he'd dropped a torch in the stack of hay in his own horse's stall. However, the stable master had managed to get Gawain and his mount out uninjured and even put out the fire before it spread beyond the one stall. But it was Father, Eakin, who had committed the sin that upset her most. On the fifth and final day of their drinking, in a maudlin moment of whiskey-fueled grief, he'd taken her mother's portrait from its place above the fireplace to whisper weepy words of longing to it. Then he tripped over his own feet and destroyed the painting when he fell on top of one of the fireside chairs. The chair back had torn through the portrait's face and upper body as surely as a sword. Sent into a sudden fury, her father had then smashed the chair and thrown it into the great hall fireplace. The picture, ruined in his opinion, had followed. Mary had tried to prevent it, but had been struck to the floor for her efforts. By the time she'd managed to regain her feet, the painting was on top of the chair on the fire, burning merrily away. She dropped back to kneel in the rushes and simply wept at the loss of this one and only portrayal that existed of her dearly departed mother, Margaret Stuart.